for those of you who are here, it's Father's Day for many of you. For me, it's not Father's Day. I have four children. How does that work? Once upon a time, I had an admin at my work who said to me, it's not fair. You get two Father's Days. You get Father's Day and you get AFL Grand Final Day. And I thought, that's great. In fact, I much like the idea. So we actually do Father's Day on AFL Grand Final Day in my house. But if it's Father's Day for you, happy Father's Day. What I'm going to do today is not a traditional sermon. It's more like a homily, little talk about a scripture and a few stories. Because God's doing some incredible things in the Middle East, and I'd like to share those with you. And we're going to finish with a video that I think you'll really like. But there's a public speaking technique that says you actually say something shocking or outrageous and make the audience feel a little bit surprised or uncomfortable, and then spend the rest of your time actually going through and explaining why that was a reasonable statement in the first place. And that's what I'm going to do today. Now, normally you're not supposed to tell people that's what you're going to do, but occupational health and safety says we shouldn't shock people too much these days, okay? So that's what we're going to do. But the extraordinary statement is this, the shocking statement is this, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, do people know who this is talking about? Any guesses? The increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Jesus, I hear that sound out there. I hear Jesus, and that's right. We hear this at Christmas really often, this passage. But what's so shocking? So because we hear it so often, it's not very shocking of the increase. I hear that every Christmas. But what about if we do this? Say the increase of government and peace in the Middle East, there will be no end. And when we think of the Middle East, we think of this kind of stuff. We think of bad headlines. We think of terrorism. We think of ISIS. We think of starvation. Syria's been in the news. There's war. It certainly doesn't look like it's a place where the increase of God's government and of peace is actually happening. And in actual fact, if you look at the last 1,400 years, it's probably true to say that the church has been in decline, even in that area as well. So where's the increase of his government and of peace in the area? But it's true. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In the face of all of that, so I'd like to share some of that today. Why did I put the Middle East in there? Because that's actually what makes it shocking. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in that space. So the Middle East covers this area and North Africa. It's largely dominated by Islam at this point in time. But there's incredible things going on. So apart from those headlines that you see. See, most of the news we hear about the Middle East and North Africa is bad news. That's what makes the news. But there's some really great stuff going on in that space, and I want to share it with you. The world's changing, and in particular, this world is changing. So some of you will remember back in 2011, there was a period that people called the Arab Spring or the Arab Uprising. It was really a sign of the times, because what's actually changed? There's a couple of things that have really changed in the last 50 years in the world, maybe 60. One of them is television. I mean, first came radio, but television was the thing that really started to give people information and images from outside their own area. And the other one's the internet. And you could probably argue today the next one is smartphones. Because what's actually happened is with the advent of the internet and smartphones is that everybody has access to images from outside their world. And people have reason to think maybe just what I've heard is not the only way that there is. Maybe what I've heard is not all that exists. And so that world's changed. The world's changed. And the Arab world's changing phenomenally. If you look at the Arab world and what's going on there, massive change. So some things you might not know or might not be aware of. People in the Middle East are actually in shock about ISIS. They're in shock. They are more afraid of ISIS than you ever will be, because they are more likely to be impacted by ISIS than we ever will be. And they look and they see and they think, is this our religion? It's actually created quite a nexus in their thinking around, is this our religion? Because when they look, they can see a pathway between what they've been taught and that. They may not agree with it, but they can see where it comes from. So they're in shock. And many of them are actually looking to their national heritage rather than any other heritage to find their identity now. So it's not so much a religious identity, but I'm a Phoenician before I'm a Muslim, or I'm a Berber before I'm a Muslim. And so that thinking has changed. In Saudi Arabia, watch this space. There's incredible things going on in Saudi Arabia that you'll hear on the news if you keep your ear out. In the last 5 years, women have been given the right to drive. They've been told that they don't need to wear an abaya, the big black covering, to be religious. And just recently, just most recently, they've actually been given permission to leave the country without a guardian, being either their spouse, a brother, or a male relative. So these things are just changing enormously. The Crown Prince actually wants Saudi Arabia to be known as a place of moderate Islam. Now, these things were inconceivable 10 years ago. And our ministry actually gets a lot of response from Saudi Arabia. So that's interesting. So, and there is opportunity. Like I shared earlier, people respond from this area. But it's not all smooth sailing. And if people face persecution, quite often it's social or from their family members. Oh, I just wanted to say that if you're wondering about television and its reach, does it reach the poorest of the poor? This is actually at the end of a breakwater in Morocco, and this is somebody's home. It's plastic and wood, and can you spot the satellite dish? Because there it is, the satellite dish. So it reaches everybody. But the team I spoke of earlier, this is our team. And if you look a little closely, there's somebody missing there. I'll make it easier for you. The abominable snowman there was never in that picture. His name is Abdullah, and he doesn't do pictures. Because Abdullah became a Christian from another faith. And when he became a Christian for another faith, his family beat him up so severely that he spent some time in hospital. When he was well enough, his sister actually took him out of hospital and nursed him to health, and then gave him the fare to go on a bus to Cairo. They lived in Upper Egypt, to take him away from the family who actually wanted to kill him. He was away for some years, and a couple of years later he started to make inquiries about his family. And he asked about his family, and he asked about his sister, and he said, what happened to his sister? And they said, oh, she died. And they said, and so he asked a little bit more, and he couldn't really get much information about how she died. But in the end, he found out that his sister had said to the brothers were very angry with her for looking after Abdullah. And so they were saying, you know, questioning her and saying, why did you do this thing? And she was saying, why did you beat him? And why couldn't you answer his questions? I mean, if you can't answer his questions, what's going on? And they killed her. So Abdullah's had two people die for him. He's had Jesus and he's had his sister. And this does happen. But Abdullah today shares his faith with anyone who will listen. For all the hardship that he has gone through, what he lives for is actually to share what Jesus has done for him. So when you look at the passage we have today, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. There's something incredible going on. There are movements in the Middle East now. Back 30 years ago, we used to see people come in ones or twos to faith in Christ. Today we are seeing families, we are seeing communities. We know of one community up to 3,000 people in Jordan that have given their lives to Christ in that community, so a whole community. And we are seeing this through the ministry we're involved in. We see response every day. But the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and that's certainly happening. And of the increase of his government of peace, there will be no end. But probably my favourite bit of this passage is actually the last bit. It's the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And I think when we look at our lives, we can actually feel like, oh, I don't know how to address this problem. It's too big. We can think, I don't even know how to talk to my Muslim neighbour. It's too big. I don't really know, I don't have the technique. You know what? It's not about us. It's about God. One of my favourite things I heard from a friend of mine about Muslims is he said, when he thinks of Islam, he thinks, I sincerely love all Muslims. And I think it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to think about with our Muslim friends and neighbours when it comes to that. Because some of us have a bit of a twitch when Islam or Muslims are spoken about. Maybe you could call it a prejudice. Some of us have that. That's understandable. It's not like, you know, we live in a world where we get a lot of negative messages. But I think that the concept of I sincerely love all Muslims is a great one for us to take with us. I'd love to tell you the story of this church. I'm going to tell it very quickly. This is a church in Muqattam in Cairo. It's a cave church. And it was formed out of a miracle of God that occurred in 900 AD. And essentially the short version of the story is the Pope at the time, the Orthodox Pope at the time, got challenged by the Islamic ruler to say, does your Bible say that if you have prayer the size of a mustard seed, that it will move a mountain? And he had to say, yes, my Bible says that. And he said, prove it or you will die and all of your followers. And there was a showdown, and essentially at that showdown, they held a Coptic Orthodox Mass. They said, Lord, have mercy 100 times, the Kyrie eleison. And at the end of that time, there was an earthquake and the mountain broke. And this church was built out of the rocks. They took out the rocks from that broken mountain, and this church, 7,000-seat cathedral, is built in that place today and exists to today. It's built in the 1950s and 60s. So incredible story about this place. This guy is the guy who did it. His name is Abuna Saman, or Father Sama'an. Incredible man, incredible ministry. He wasn't an Orthodox priest when he started. He was an evangelist, and he chased people down the street to get them to come to his meeting, and he wore boots, not sandals, because he worked out if he wore boots and they were in sandals, he was quicker so he could catch them. But he's an incredible man. And he actually, at a time of great persecution, brought the churches of Egypt together. And I don't want to go there just yet. So he brought the churches of Egypt together. Because in 2011, I was talking about the time of the Arab uprising. Egypt was in a lot of pressure, and there was actually a lot of tension on the streets, and there was a revolution. Hosni Mubarak's government was overthrown, and there were going to be elections, and it looked very much like the Muslim Brotherhood were going to be elected. So Abuna Saman, Father Sama'an, he called all of the churches together, not just the Orthodox Church, but all of the churches in Cairo together for a time of prayer and worship to say, we need to call out to God. And the video I'm going to show you is actually from that night. Between 15,000 and 20,000 people turned up at the 7,000-seat cathedral and spent a night in prayer and worship, calling out to God. And what I hope you see when you see this is you see that, you know what, it's not a hopeless case in the Middle East, that God's at work. There are great people there. And what's amazing to us is that they do want to share their faith with those around them. that they do see. Yes, there are some concerns, but they do want to share. Why am I sharing you this? Because God is at work. And it's a great message for us to understand that in the backdrop of all that we hear and see, God's doing some amazing things. One of my epiphanies a couple of years ago now was that when we worship God, we're just joining in. Like, we're just joining in. It's going on all the time. The psalm says, all creation sings his praise. All creation sings his praise. If you read Revelation, it says day and night that everyone in heaven is worshiping God. So when we do it, we're just joining in. And as I show this video today, perhaps I'd just ask you to join in. And perhaps in a way, join in and worship our God together with our brothers and sisters in the Middle East.
Hello.